Praise God. It's just wonderful. The Lord is good. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. All the time. God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. God is good. I mean, all the time. God is good. And when I'm no good, God is good. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. It's just wonderful. You know, I get excited at work sometimes. I'm at work, you know, and everything is all business, and somebody come up with something, and then I just go off in the word. Oh, praise God. And I get excited, and I get up out of my chair. And I just, oh, praise God. The word works. The word works. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Tonight, the Lord has placed something upon my heart, and the subject is discouragement. Seems strange, discouragement. But that is what keponde wa simane kare undi amboho kumbo hoshima andava nika de shine pondogwa sima elavinikia vahambo ho chiu koro indiqua simana bankare itijavo komboyo maha. Father God, we yield our spirits to you. We surrender to you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would move by your precious anointing and cause your will to be done tonight. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you, Jesus, for your name. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We thank you, Father, that we can call you Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our Savior, that you are our Lord, that you are our High Priest, that you are our King, that you are our life, that you are our joy, that you are our forgiveness, that you are our healing, that you are our rock, that you are our shield, that you are our buckler, that you are our hiding place. That you are our righteousness, that you are our forgiveness, that you are our God. We thank you for you, Holy Spirit, that you are our comforter, that you are our counselor, that you are our advocate, that you are our strengthener, that you are our helper. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Praise God. How many know Jesus is here? Amen. Can anybody give me a scripture how we can know that Jesus is here tonight? I want you to get up boldly and say it. Who knows? How do we know if he's here? He may have gone to lunch. That's a scripture. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Can anyone give me another scripture? Yes, he's here to save. That's true. He's here to save. Go ahead. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Very good. Yes? Okay, when we're praising, yes, he's here to inhabit those praises. And you're correct, brother. Please forgive me. Yes, George.
The Lord is near unto them that call upon him, that call upon him in truth.
Amen. And are we calling upon him in truth?
Amen.
Okay. Yes, brother Eddie.
He calls to us at all times.
Well, the Bible says, know ye not, I love this, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God. So where you are, he's there. You are his temple. Yes, brother. Joe. Amen. 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 God is here. Yes. P. God is, that's right. Amen. God is with us. Praise God. So we know he's here. There's a tool. There's an enemy that we have, the devil. And the tool he uses, his best tool, is discouragement. He desires to discourage us. And what we need to begin to do is to know the devices he uses. When anything that comes to us is there to discourage, we are to recognize that it is the devil. The Bible says the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. The Bible says, in one place it says, Jesus said to Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. The devil wants your faith. That's what he wants. He wants your faith. But you know what you should do when the devil comes in? Excuse me? Resist him, yes? There's a scripture that says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But how do you submit yourself to God? Can anybody tell me? Okay, people have humbled themselves, but how do you submit yourself to God? Yes, George.
Study to show yourself approved unto God, to work with the truth, not to be ashamed, rightly applying the word of truth.
You submit yourself to his word. Just like you said, George. You submit yourself to his word. You cannot submit yourself to God and not submit yourself to his word. The only way you submit yourself to God is submit yourself to his word. So what we need to do is begin to get that word in us. So when the enemy attacks, praise God, we look him in the face and we laugh at him. Because he's a defeated foe and we have authority over him. And we need to begin to recognize that anytime he comes, any type of discouragement, anything that causes us to be sad, we fight it off with the word. And you know the best tool that we have against the enemy besides the word? Faith, yes. Yes, Brother Eddie. Yes, word and energy. But there's something that we can do. Praise. When the devil comes, you laugh at him. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord how often?
Always.
We are to always rejoice. When things are going bad, we are to rejoice. When things are going good, we are to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And it goes on to say, and again I say, but you know, sometimes it's like pulling teeth, you know. We're trying to get people to praise God. But I tell you, if you begin to praise God, if you begin to worship God, do you know what happens? You begin to put the Holy Ghost to work. You begin to put the Holy Ghost to work in your behalf. When you stay sad and you stay discouraged, you tie God's hands. God can't help you. You know, Bible says in the Old Testament, they limited God with their what? Unbelief. They limited God with their unbelief. But when you're praising God, what are you doing? You're believing that God is bigger than the situation. God is bigger than any situation. And you know, I love this scripture, Ephesians 1:3. It says this, God has, not that he's going to, not that he's thinking about it, but God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every single spiritual need that I could ever have, God has already blessed me with. So before a situation arises, the solution has already been provided. Before a negative situation arises, God has already provided the solution. And not only has he provided it, but he's already given it to me. Ephesians 1:3 says what? He has blessed us with, meaning it's already done, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's another scripture that says, God has, not that he's going to do, not that he's thinking about it, but God has given, that word is past tense, given to us, and it says, all things, given to us all things, praise God, all things. There's another scripture that says this, he says, beloved, he calls us his beloved, oh, praise God, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, praise God, hallelujah, and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that wonderful? And you can go and just walk along the street, just realizing what family you belong to, the family of God. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me will prosper. As God is for me, who can be against me? God's on my side. Jesus is on my side. The Holy Ghost is on my side. 2/3 of the angels are on my side. And the devil is defeated. The pastor preached a sermon 2 weeks ago. And the sermon was that God has raised Jesus up. The scripture says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, how does it go? It's in Ephesians. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, has given to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And that God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. But in the next chapter, it says that God has raised us up together with Jesus.
Amen.
So not only is Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, but you and I are also.
Amen.
We are there also.
Hallelujah.
And it says far above all, why don't you say far above all,
far above all,
far above all principalities and power. Now, is the devil a principality and power? Is the devil a principality and power?
Yes.
Is the devil a principality and power?
Yes.
Come on, come on. Is the devil a principality and power?
Yes.
Yet we are far above him.
Amen.
Because we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2:6. I want you to see it for yourself. Ephesians 2:6, because it's so important that we begin in these last days to know who we are in Christ. See, in these last days, the devil is going to be trying to discourage us. He's going to be trying to lord it over us. And if we don't know who we are and our position in Christ, we will become casualties. We will become casualties. And the Bible says we should not be ignorant of his devices. And the brother said, we should study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we don't study, one day we might be ashamed, and we don't want to be ashamed. So we need to begin to embrace these truths and take our position in Christ and exercise our authority. Now that's Ephesians 2:6. Can we, everyone has that? Let's read it. He's not going to do it. He's not, what is that? He's already done it. He's already done it. It's not going to happen. I'm seated there now. You're seated there now. And we can lord it over the devil. And we can lord it over the demons and evil spirits and over circumstances. That's why the Bible says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We need to begin to speak the word. Whatever God says I am, I am. God says I am, I am what God says I am. The Bible says, I am a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That person on the inside who you don't see is a new person. Not only is he or she a new person, but there's an anointing in you. And there's an anointing in me. And you know what his name is? What is his name?
Jesus.
In the person of? Talk up loud. What is his name? The Holy Spirit. Yes. The anointing is in you. The anointing is in me. And what we need to do in these last days, begin to tap into that anointing. That's what we need to do. Tap into the anointing. To the glory of God. And when we tap into the anointing, oh, praise God, rivers of living water, we will see things happen. We will bring down strongholds. We will speak blessing to ourselves, to our families, and to others. We need to begin to rise up in these last days. We need to begin to know who we are. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. We need to begin to realize who we are and the authority we have through what Brother Eddie said, the name, the name. That name that's above every name. That name that was bestowed upon the Son of God. God has given us the privilege to use his name. It says that in his name, believers shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. We need to know. Yes, it's all blessing. However, there are going to be challenges to our faith. The devil's going to challenge us. The Bible says, fight the good fight of submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. The Bible says, stand, and after doing all, to stand, stand. Take your position. See, we're not taking our position from a point of trying to be victorious. We're not taking our position from a point of trying to be victorious. We are already victorious because Jesus already won the battle for us.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't have to win the battle. He won the battle. There's no place in the Bible where Jesus tells us to pray for the Lord. You know what the Bible says? It says that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ forgave every man, woman, and child. Amen. The message is not that God will save you. The message is that God saved you, and all you need to do to benefit by it is to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as your Lord. See, it was done. It's already done. Already done beforehand. See, Jesus doesn't have to even heal anybody today. Because 2,000 years ago, when they opened his back with those whips, when they scourged him, he healed you and he healed me. What we need to do is say, yes, Lord, you were whipped. And at that time, you healed me. And I claim that, which you did. And you begin thanking him. the word says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Himself bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He took our infirmities, he bare our sicknesses, he forgiveth our iniquities, he healeth all our diseases, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He did it. Lord, I believe you did. Case closed. I respect what the doctors say, but I'm going to begin to thank you and praise you for that which is, not for that which is going to be. Because your word says it's done. The devil's going to be challenging us in these last days. And we're going to have to know the word. The word is our foundation. The word is our foundation. The word is what we have. The word produces our faith. Without the word, there is no Bible faith. And what we need to begin to do is realize the riches that belongs, that's in that word, and take that in and let it just speak it out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, to the point that you know his word. And when the Bible speaks about knowing, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not knowing it in your hands. It's not knowing it in your feet. It's not knowing it in your head. It's knowing it in your heart. It's just like the gospel. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, he said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does the next verse say? For with the heart, man believeth. Bible faith is believing it in your heart. Not up here. There are times when you can have doubts up here, but you need to believe it in here. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep my words in the midst of your heart. For my words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's words. We need to get it in here. We need to get it in here. It's not enough to have it up here. We must get it in here. And the way you get it in here is begin, continue speaking that word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And get that word, keep saying it and saying it, no matter how long it takes, because the devil is going to be challenging you. He's going to be challenging us. And if we sit back, and if we don't allow that word to really get in there, brothers and sisters, in these last days, we're not going to make it. Oh, we'll make it into heaven. But what we want to do is begin to reign down here as children of the living God. Begin to apply the word on your job, in your school, in your home, everywhere. Begin to let the word reign. At work, at my job, people get all excited about this and that. And I say, the scripture says, cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. And if he can't do it, who do I think I am? If he can't do it, I mean, who I think I am? He says, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. That's what he said. Do I believe it? And if he told me to cast all my cares on him, then that's what I should do. Yeah. And don't pick them up. So the devil wants you to go and pick them up. Yeah. You put it on the Lord today and you pick them up. You put it on the Lord today and you pick them up. It's like a seed. You take a seed and you expect it to grow. You put it in the ground today and you pull it out tomorrow. And the next day you put it in the ground again and you pull it out. I mean, that seed never going to do anything. Right?
That's right.
Well, don't we do that with our cares? Let's stop.
You're right.
And say, Lord, I believe you. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm just going to forget it.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you give it over to him, who's carrying the weight?
The Lord.
He is. So why should I be concerned? And if anybody can take care of it, he can. And if he can't take care of it, forget it. There's something else we need to begin to know. That as we are challenged in these last days, we need to look at these challenges as opportunities. Look at them differently. Look at them as opportunities for our faith to grow, for our faith to mature, for our faith to develop. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Notice what it says, all things work together for good. Good things and bad things. But we need to realize that God is Lord over everything. So praise God. Hey, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what does he say? The Lord delivers us out of them all. There's another spirit that says, thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph. So matter how the enemy challenges us, if we stand in faith, we already know the outcome. We know the outcome before the situation arises. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Now, thanks be unto God that always. How often?
Always.
How often?
Always.
How often?
Always.
Always causes us to triumph. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when that situation comes, Lord, I thank you that you're Lord over this situation, and I've already got the victory. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you all knew from the foundation of the earth that this situation would come, and you had already provided a solution. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to lift up your name, Lord Jesus. I'm going to let you know, Lord God, I believe you. I'm not going to focus in on that thing. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So when that challenge comes, when that situation comes, I say, Lord Jesus, devil, you're a liar. I got the victory before you even approached. And I'm walking in love with my brothers and sisters, and I'm not walking in sin. Therefore, you have no right to put this situation on me. So you take your symptoms and your circumstances, and you get in the wind. Because you're a liar. I believe God. And you know what happened? Your faith will get stronger. As you're praising God, hallelujah, you get stronger. The longer a weightlifter goes to the gym and exercises, the stronger he's going to get. And when those challenges come and we face them in faith, hallelujah, he's just helping us to get stronger. God, hallelujah. He's just a tool of God. Just a tool of God helping us to become victorious. Helping us to become the real soldiers of faith that we ought to be in these last days. Hallelujah. Yes, soldiers of faith. You don't get stronger in faith for just staying home and not doing anything. You get stronger in faith by your faith being challenged. By your faith being challenged. And you facing him and facing those situations in faith. You can begin to praise God. When I was 15 years old, I was dying of spinal meningitis. And I've had, and my family, we've had many miracles over the years. But I learned one thing. I was in that room. They put me in Presbyterian Hospital there, and I was in the room, and I was there, and I was praying to God. And I was looking for God to heal me, and nothing was happening. And I got more focused. I was just praying, God, God, nothing happening. And I got deeper, and I began to hear, the Lord says, you go to church on Sundays, you pray every day, you pray every night. You even try to walk like a Christian, but you've never given me your heart. I said to the Lord, I'm too young to give you my heart. I really wanted to go out and sell some mugs. God meant business. Came a point in time where I knew. See, I had been holding on to life with the will to live, but it came a point where I knew I was dying. I knew that there was a hell, and I wasn't going there. And the devil talks to you at those times. The devil talked too. He said, Lance is going to go to hell. He began to mention, Charles is going to go to hell. So I could sort of just slide in. No, no, no. I said, tonight I receive you as my personal savior. And I began to, and when I gave my heart over to Jesus, I didn't need the pastor, I didn't need an evangelist, I didn't need anybody to tell me my sins were forgiven. I knew it. I began to thank God. I began to praise the Lord. I began to worship Jesus. I began to thank him as though it was the last opportunity I had on earth. I worshiped the Lord. I praised the Lord. I wanted Jesus to know I loved him and appreciated this wonderful salvation. This is why I said at the beginning of this talk that the best weapon you have is the weapon of praise. I worshiped him. I praised him. I glorified him. I praised him for hours. I just worshiped the King. I praised him and praised him and praised him. I praised him and praised him and praised him. I praised him and praised him and praised him. I praised him. And there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough. I began to pray in this new language. Now, I didn't come from a Pentecostal church. I belong to a Presbyterian church. I began to worship the Lord in this new language, and I began to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and let him know that I loved him with all of my heart. See, we need to get serious. We need to get real serious about this. Either he is or he is not. There's no in between. The Bible says the time cometh when the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And God wants all of us, not just 80%, not just 99.9%. God wants us totally. And as I worshiped the King, was praising him in this new language, I forgot I was dying. Yes, I did. And I said, Lord, I don't want to die. And the Lord reminded me of a scripture. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, you're healed. And the natural thing to do is to take inventory of your body. I feel this pain. I feel that pain. Yeah, I took inventory. See, that's the natural thing to do. You're going by the senses. You're not looking to his word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, we're not to look to our bodies. We are to focus in on his word. We are to praise him. We are to lift his name up. We are to thank him. And something said to me, you can go on and say that you're not healed, or you can begin to thank me that you are. And I began to worship the Lord. I began to lift up Jesus Christ. Despite what my body was telling me, I lifted up the name of Jesus, and I glorified the God, my Savior. And I fell asleep that night, praising and worshiping the King. They sent a telegram to my mother's house saying that I wouldn't live through the night. My mother came to see me. She didn't tell me this. But you know, the next morning I woke up, I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Ghost and completely healed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Spinal meningitis. God's word works. God's word always works. But we must work it. We must work it. God has done his part. God has done his part. God has done his part. What we are to do is begin to stand up and say, God, your word is true, and I will worship you, and I will praise you because your word is true. And when we do this, we will move the anointing and power of God will move in our behalf. We'll move in every circumstance. I don't care what it is. Just find the word that agrees with your situation and that deals with your situation, and you will then tie into that, and you will see the anointing and power of God move as never before, and people will look on you and they will say, who is that God that did that for you? I want to know him. Because in this day and time, people want show me. Show me. And we can be living examples of his word in his last days. And brothers and sisters, we're going to have to. Let's begin to gravitate to his word as never before. I'm not talking about just coming to church and hearing the pastor preach, but you get into that word yourself, begin to get that word, begin to pray that word out, begin to speak that word out, not look at the circumstances. You know, the Bible says, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, yet neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And what did he do? Give glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And if we want to be victorious in these last days, we're going to have to, brothers, begin to give ourselves over. You're not going to get through. The devil's not going to let you get through being a lazy Christian. The devil's not going to let you get through being a lazy Christian. You're going to have to realize the word of God is more important to you and your family than anything else. Because it's the word that's going to bring you through. Because when push comes to shove, even your best friends will let you down. Yes? When it comes down to me or you, who's going, you know? Unless it's the love of God. Unless it's the love of God. So brothers, and it's no time sometimes to go run for the pastor, run for this brother. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's too late. We got to start now. We have to start now. Get into the word. Get that word in you. Begin to live the word. Talk the word. Speak the word. Eat the word. Amen. Because that's all that's really important when you really get down to life here on the earth for the believer. Let's all stand to the glory of God. I challenge you tonight. The devil's out there to discourage us. He's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. However, we have an opportunity in these last days to not become a victim, to not become a statistic. I challenge you today. I challenge you as young people. I challenge you as middle-aged people. I challenge you as older people. Let's get into God's word. Let's get into God's word. On Monday night, we have what we call boot camp here. Amen. We're training people to become soldiers, believers, who can walk in God's word in every area of their lives. Not play church, not play make-believe. Because there is going to come a time where no one else is going to be able to help you but Jesus. And there's a part that you play. And what happens is that people come too late sometimes. They come too late. They come too late to have built up their faith. All of a sudden, they have a situation and they want God to come through. God came through. But what have they been doing along? Have they been building their faith up? What have they been doing? Have they been playing church? Many people are playing. I played church for 15 years. And we can play church. I met a man once, and I talked to him. He had a big old cigar, and he was a big vice president. I told him about Jesus. Oh, he was too big for that. 5 years later, I was asking about, I said, what happened to such and such? Oh, he had a big problem, and he got fired from the company. I said, what happened? Oh, he died. Yeah. See, the devil is not playing with us. The devil is out there to kill and to destroy you. But God has provided his word for you. And it's time that we begin to really take this serious. I'm sorry I've been so hard on you tonight, but I have seen the consequences of us not doing what we should do. I can tell you story after story of men I've gone to, and I look 5 years later, and the man is dying of this, and a man is dying of that. And this happens in this person's life and that person's life, and they're not ready to deal with it. And they want you to come in and you to pray and pray and pray. Now, this is not the same thing for everybody. But I'm saying to you tonight, brothers and sisters, my heart cries out to you. Take this serious. Because we are in the last days. And the Bible says that it will begin at the house of God. See, the enemy knows his time is short. Brothers and sisters, please begin to get into the Word. If you can, come out to boot camp on Monday nights from 6 to 8. We will build you up in the Word of God. And you will be victorious. We hear testimony after testimony of what God is doing in many of the soldiers' lives that come to the Monday nights. Come. We put you to work. It's not going to be you. We put you to work. You're going to have to do some homework. Yes, we do. We put you to work.
That's okay.
And that's what you're going to have to do in order to become what God wants you to become. On your job, you must go and learn that job. You must put in some effort. You just can't come there, sit in that seat for 7 or 8 hours, and then go home. Well, this God requires that you begin to put in time and study. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for this privilege tonight to come into your presence by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. As it is your heart's desire, Lord God, that we be filled with your word, Lord God, and go out as warriors in these last days, speaking forth your word boldly under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that men might see Jesus in us, that women might see Jesus in us, and that they may be drawn to you and receive you as their personal Savior. Father, we have the answer. Father, we ask that we may become the answer. That people may see you, Jesus, and partake of you in these last days. I pray, Father, for my brothers and my sisters. I pray that they gravitate to what's been said tonight. They do not toss it to the side, Lord God, for their life and their family's life and other lives are at stake. I ask you, Father, to move by your anointing. Only you can do it, Father. I ask this of thee in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You're dismissed to the glory of God. If you need prayer, you can come up. We will pray with you to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.